Let's go to Judges chapter 6. Judges 6. This time we'll be looking at verses 17 through 24. Here now we're looking at Gideon, and the first message that we had in the last hour, we saw Gideon as a type of the believer. And we saw that God has his purpose of grace for his child, so that the comforting word to us is that whatever is going on in our lives, we had the comfort knowing that God has brought this to pass according to his purpose of grace for me and what he's accomplishing in his kingdom. For this second message here, this hour, we see why God may be gracious to his child. We who by nature are sinners, God is just to forgive us of our sin. And we see that the reason why God is just to forgive us of our sin is because he has made a sacrifice. He has found a ransom, the Lord Jesus Christ, to deliver us from our sins and to give us life and reconciliation in Christ to our God. I've titled this message, An Eye-Opening Sacrifice. And let me just say, it's because our God answers all our questions. We saw in the last hour how many questions Gideon had. He had a lot of questions. And we see here how the Lord answers all those questions in showing us Jesus Christ and him crucified. Jesus Christ and him crucified. The child of God who feeds upon the Lord our Savior, the bread of heaven, is nourished, strengthened, comforted, at peace with God through the Lord Jesus Christ. And he shows us through his scripture time and time again, the Lord Jesus Christ crucified. We find our satisfaction in him just as our Father is satisfied in him. Now, we have here Gideon, and we've seen the display of God's grace being repeated over and over again. We saw the sin of unbelief exhibited there in Gideon through his persistent questioning, and yet time and time again, God patiently, without upbraiding him, declares the word of promise. And we understand from that that God will not be turned from his purpose to be gracious to whom he will be gracious. Now, this unbelief is not done. It comes up again here with Gideon. And it shows us exactly what we are in this flesh. It shows, this is me. This is me. My questions, my asking constantly, my unbelief. And here, Gideon asks for a sign. Look at verse 17. And Gideon said unto the angel of the Lord, If now I have found grace in thy sight, then show me a sign that thou talkest with me. Gideon's really asking for a sign here. He wants to know, do you have the authority of God to say the things that you're saying to me right now? I'm going to need a miraculous proof that these words of encouragement that you're speaking to me are not the vain words of a man. And the sign that God gives to Gideon is to show him, to point to him the sacrifice, a sacrifice that is full of the pictures of the Lord Jesus Christ, the Savior of his people. The Lord is saying to his people, his child, Behold, the Lamb of God who taketh away the sin of the world. Though my people spread throughout the world. And so you have Gideon, who walks in his repeated unbelief, and he's a type of the believer, and we see God communicating with Gideon through a messenger who testifies to Gideon of God's purpose of grace, of his election of grace for Gideon. And as a proof of his word to Gideon, he preaches Jesus Christ and him crucified. He gives him a sight of the sacrifice that God the Father has provided to take away our sin, to settle all questions, to show us proof positive that God will be gracious to his child. And he fulfills all his word that he says, all his word of promise to his children, he fulfills it even as we see it fulfilled in the Lord Jesus Christ. And so this is what the Lord our God does for you, his children, every time that you are gathered together to hear his word in the preaching of the gospel of Jesus Christ. God repeatedly shows us over and over again, I've provided everything that you need. You rest in me. You worship in the Lord Jesus Christ, giving thanks unto the Father for all that he has done, sufficiently, fully, completely, to his complete satisfaction, and he'll make us to be satisfied with it as well. He's provided it all in his Son. Now let me show you an example. We're going to see it here in Judges, but let me show you. Let's go to Luke chapter 11. Luke 11, verse 28 through 30. Here we see this similar example being declared to us. Luke 11, 28. Someone had shouted something. They wanted to be heard. Sound like they know something, that they might receive a blessing. But Christ said, yea, rather, blessed are they that hear the word of God and keep it. It's a blessing to hear the word of God. And when the people were gathered thick together, he began to say, this is an evil generation. They seek a sign, and there shall no sign be given it, but the sign of Jonas the prophet. For as Jonas was a sign unto the Ninevites, so shall also the Son of Man be to this generation. Now we know in Jonah that he was raised from the dead. He was as good as dead in the belly of the whale under that watery grave. But he rose again and went and preached the gospel to Nineveh, and he was a sign to them. Well, so it is that as he is a sign, a picture of the Lord Jesus Christ, so Christ is the fulfillment of all the signs that we need. He is the one by whom the Father now speaks to the children of God, and for the believer, Christ has made a sufficient sign. We don't need another sign. God, in sundry times, now, he used to speak by the prophets, he used to give signs, but now he's given us all the sign we need. He speaks to us by the Lord Jesus Christ. We hear him declared every time faithfully in Christ and him crucified. We see he's provided everything that we need. And so that word, which speaks of Christ, still carries power and grace for us this day. And the more we hear it, the more satisfied we are that Christ is all. He's all. And I'm content in him. So every sight that the Lord gives you of Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God, which you are made to see and receive and believe, it's a miracle of his grace. It is a miracle of grace. When you hear and believe that Christ is all, that he has fulfilled everything, that's grace. Because the natural man doesn't receive that. The natural man doesn't receive that. That's received in the new man, born of the seed of Christ, the incorruptible seed of Christ that hears and receives and believes. And so we hear this in the preaching of the word. And so I encourage you, don't do anything that puts yourself out of the way of hearing the word of God, because he gives you that word to strengthen you. He preaches Christ to you through the word. Christ preaches Christ to his sheep. He is the bread of heaven. Just as that bread was the salvation of those Jews in the wilderness, that's what Christ is saying. I'm the bread of heaven. I am your salvation. By me you live. By me you have life. And you shall have life eternal in me. And so we come to hear the word, because by the hearing of the word, faith is given. Faith is given in the hearing of the word. He's declaring grace to sinners. And so we're looking now at an extraordinary example of God's grace for sinners, and we see why it is that God may be gracious to the sinner. So let's just pause here for a moment and ask ourselves, am I a sinner? Am I a sinner? Is there a sinner here now? Do I need salvation? Because God says that all sinners shall be punished for their sins. Do I need salvation from that punishment? Do I need to be delivered from that punishment because of my sins? We want to know, because this gospel, this good news, is only for sinners. This good news is only for sinners. Now, the scriptures tell us that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And God has a purpose of grace in declaring that truth to his people, to know what we are in ourselves. Because the scripture hath concluded all under sin, that the promise by faith of Jesus Christ might be given to them that believe. You see, by nature, we are enmity against the true and living God. This flesh is nothing but sin. This flesh is ruined and corrupted in Adam. Turn over to Romans 8. Am I a sinner? By nature, am I a sinner? Do I need to hear this good news? Romans 8, verse 5. We see here that the enmity is in us by natural birth. And this is the enmity which Christ must save his people from. Otherwise, all we're doing, we can be religious, but we're just laboring in religion and dead works that cannot save. It's called bondage. Bondage. Because we can't free ourselves. Romans 8, 5, for they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh. Our minds, our hearts are set on fleshly things. But they that are after the Spirit are set on the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God. For it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. So then, they that are in the flesh cannot please God. What our Lord is saying there is, our flesh, we in the flesh are not going to hear the word of God. Gideon, being left in the flesh, is not going to hear the word that the angel is speaking to him. And our Lord says to us, he that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. He's talking about a spiritual ear. I have ears. I have two ears. So what does he mean by he that hath an ear? He's talking about a spiritual hearing. By the grace of God, we hear what the Spirit says to the churches. And that means it requires a spiritual work of grace. Romans 8, 5 through 8 tells me what I am in this flesh, that I'm spiritually dead. I don't have a spiritual ear. I don't hear spiritual things. I don't believe the things of God in this flesh left to myself. I need a spiritual work of grace whereby God, by his power, removes this enmity, unstuffs my blocked ear, and makes me to hear the word of promise of my God made to sinners in the Lord Jesus Christ, who sets them free from the bondage of dead works religion that cannot save. This flesh, with itching ears left to myself, all the fleshly man, the carnal man wants to hear is, just tell me what I got to do to make myself a spiritual creature. Tell me what I got to do so that I too can hear what God is saying to his people. Well, wait a minute. Just stop, because you and I don't do anything to make ourselves spiritual. It's the gift of God. It's by the giving of the Holy Spirit that he gives freely to whom he will, making them to live and to hear, giving them spiritual life whereby they hear what God says to his church. It's by the regeneration, the giving of life by the Spirit of God, and what is called the new birth, being born again. We already came forth born of Adam's corrupt seed. We need to be born by the second Adam, the Lord Jesus Christ, of that incorruptible seed which hears and walks by faith and not by sight. Let's see another scripture in Psalm 85. Psalm 85. Here, this psalm is declaring, once again, Christ to us. It's speaking of Christ's sacrifice, what he did to obtain our salvation. Verse 10. Psalm 85:10. We're told here about the Lord Jesus Christ, that in him mercy and truth are met together. Righteousness and peace have kissed each other. This speaks to Christ, who came as the surety of his people, accomplishing the will of God for them. What was God's will and purpose in sending Christ? To obtain the forgiveness of the sins of his people, to deliver them through his obedience, making them righteous. He came as the surety of his people, so that he was made a curse for his people. The scriptures tell us that because of our sin, we're under the curse of the law. We have an eternal death to die as payment for breaking the law of God. But Christ came and he was made the curse of God's people, meaning he died our death in our place, bearing our sin to put it away. He did that work for us to pay off our debt and made full satisfaction to holy God. And we see in the next verse how that God testifies that Christ is justified and we in Christ are as justified as he is, as perfect as Christ is. That's what justification means. What you see on the left side is what you see on the right. It's perfectly justified. It equals. Exactly equals. And it says truth shall spring out of the earth and righteousness shall look down from heaven. God looked upon the obedience of his son, his death, his burial. And because God declared him righteous, because he is righteous, he raised him from the dead. Truth sprung out of the earth. He rose again, declaring our righteousness, our justification in him. And therefore, God sends the Holy Spirit to give light and salvation to his people in Christ. Look at verse 12. Yea, the Lord shall give that which is good. And our land, this dust, shall yield her increase. We're going to bear fruits of righteousness by the Spirit of grace which is given unto us. And now in Christ our righteousness, we walk by faith in Christ who is the way, the truth, and the life. Verse 13, righteousness shall go before him and shall set us in the way of his steps. And so the Lord our God is declaring to us that Christ is all your salvation. Those who come to the Father and Jesus Christ the Son shall find a welcome reception. The heaven must receive him because the Father is fully satisfied and therefore he's satisfied with us who come by faith in him. Now, it's because of this atonement that God is just to forgive sinners of their sin. God's not winking the eye and just saying, well, I like you, but I don't like him, so I'm going to bring you into heaven with me. No, a just price has been paid by the Lord Jesus Christ, who purchased us, who redeemed us, and we are his, and made partakers in his blessed inheritance. We stand in the Lord Jesus Christ, not our own works, not in Adam, Not in that inheritance of death and hell. We stand in the inheritance of the Lord Jesus Christ, who is life eternal and gives life to all his people and himself. So Romans 3, 24 through 26 says, being justified freely by his grace through the redemption, that blood purchase that is in Christ Jesus, whom God hath set forth to be a propitiation through faith in his blood to declare his righteousness for the remission or the forgiveness of sins that are past through the forbearance of God. And so what's being declared to us here in these verses is that we are justified. We are made righteous in Christ, and God declares it to be so. We are purchased of him, because when Christ came in the flesh for his people, that wrath and punishment that we were under because of our sin, Christ was made a propitiation for us, meaning that that wrath and punishment which we deserved, which we earned, the debt we owed, Christ came and said, make it mine. It's mine. I'm paying the price. You put that punishment on me, I'm paying it, that my child goes free from it. So that he is the propitiation. The anger of God was taken from us and put on him. And the wrath of God was poured out on him to set us free and to give us life in himself. To declare, verse 26, I say at this time, his righteousness, that God might be just and the justifier of him which believeth in Jesus. Because full satisfaction has been made, brethren. And God tells us now that all the spiritual blessings of God, everything he gives to his child freely in grace, is ours in the Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places, a reference to that atonement in Christ Jesus. In Christ Jesus. Now, I say all that to say that that's what's being declared here to Gideon. Here in this transaction that's going on, this declaration to Gideon, the angel of the Lord preaches Christ crucified to him. Gideon asks this angel, back in Judges 6, we're coming to verse 20 now. Gideon asks the angel, he says, you wait here. If I found grace in your sight, I'm going to go make a meal. In other words, what he's saying is, you settle in because I've got a lot of questions. I got a lot that I need to understand. I've got all these questions. If I found grace in your sight, settle in. I'm going to go run and make us food because we're going to be here for a while. Now, look at verse 20. Gideon comes back with the food he's prepared. And the angel of God said unto him, take the flesh and the unleavened cakes and lay them upon this rock and pour out the broth. And he did so. Then the angel of the Lord put forth the end of the staff that was in his hand and touched the flesh and the unleavened cakes. And there rose up fire out of the rock and consumed the flesh and the unleavened cakes. Then the angel of the Lord departed out of his sight. So what's pictured here for us and what the angel did with the food? Right? Because Gideon had a lot of questions. And yet what's being shown to us here is that enough was communicated. What he needed to hear and see was communicated to him, and the angel departed out of his sight. So what does this mean? What's being declared here? Well, these symbols picture the sacrifice of the Lord Jesus Christ. There's a picture of Christ crucified here. The flesh is a picture of the Lord Jesus Christ who came in the flesh. And these unleavened cakes that were made speaks to him being without sin. There was no leaven in that bread. Christ is the unleavened bread. He has no sin in his flesh. He's spotless, perfect, holy, unblemished. And the broth, what does that broth picture? This is the handwriting of ordinances that was against us, which was contrary to us. In other words, everything that opposes us, opposes our inheritance, makes it impossible for us to be saved, Christ satisfied it all. You know, I've got some sticks in the yard that I've got to burn up. And I got to put all this big pile of sticks now that I got to burn up. One thing I'm not going to do before I light that thing afire is spray a hose of all this water on it. I'm not going to spray it down because I want it to light up. I'm only making it harder for that thing to catch fire. But the angel had him pour out that broth. Everything that was contrary to our being saved was poured out upon the Lord Jesus Christ. And Christ took it out of the way, nailing it to his cross. He took everything opposed to our salvation and put it to death. And we see that he is the rock. Christ is the rock who is the refuge of his people, in whom we are hid as we go through the fires of God's wrath, being protected in the cleft of the rock, the Lord Jesus Christ. In him we are carried through, brought through. We've paid the price in Christ because Christ paid it all. He bore that wrath of God for his people, hid in Christ and received of the Father in him. So that fire is the wrath of God through which Christ prevailed for the life of his people. Just like a rock. If I have rocks by that flame, the sticks burn up, but the rocks endure. The rock is not destroyed. And he, the angel, had Gideon place the things out, because under the determined purpose and will of God, Christ was crucified. Not for his own sins, but for the sins of his people. Christ didn't go to that cross for any other purpose but to pay for the sins of his people. And we, with wicked hands, just like he has Gideon lay them out, we with wicked hands took Christ and crucified him. We crucified him. And it is through this offering, and what the angel of the Lord did to it, there, and when he saw Christ crucified, his eyes were opened. And he realized, this is the true and living God speaking to me. And he was then afraid, and he fell down there and worshipped God. The questions he needed answered were answered. What he needed to see was seen. He saw Christ crucified. That's what the Lord does for his people. Verse 22 and 23, when Gideon perceived that he was an angel of the Lord, Gideon said, "Alas, O Lord God, for because I have seen an angel of the Lord face to face." And the Lord said unto him, "Peace be unto thee. Fear not, thou shalt not die." Gideon now was hearing by faith that the angel had already departed out of his sight. And yet now, when he cries out, he hears by faith the Lord saying to him, "Peace be unto thee. Fear not, thou shalt not die." And so it is that your God declares to you, showing you the Lord Jesus Christ. We have many questions. I've seen it happen many times, and maybe you don't realize it, but I remember in particular there was a man who came to the church in New Jersey, and he came from staunch religion, and he had all kinds of questions. And my pastor just said to him, "Just sit and listen. Just sit and hear the gospel." And he preached Christ faithfully each and every time he got up and preached. He preached the Lord Jesus Christ and him crucified. And you know what happened for that man? All his questions went away. They were all answered. Everything that he needed to hear was satisfied because he was made to hear the Lord Jesus Christ. He heard that Christ paid it all, and he was given faith to believe. And it was enough for him. Religion gives us all kinds of questions. But God in mercy and grace gives us Christ and satisfies our needs and our questions with the Lord Jesus Christ. We see this same pattern, the same power displayed in the early church. You know, when Peter stood up and preached to those Jews, when the Holy Ghost had come upon them at Pentecost, when they were gathered together at Jerusalem, just like the Lord said, and the Holy Ghost came upon them, Peter preached Christ crucified to them. He said, "Therefore, let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God hath made the same Jesus whom ye have crucified, Lord and Christ." And we see that the Jews who heard Peter preach, there was a lot there, but there were some who heard it by faith. When they saw the atonement that was made, they believed. It says, "Now when they heard this, they were pricked in their heart and said unto Peter and the rest of the apostles, Men and brethren, what shall we do?" They're talking just like Gideon. "Alas, I'm going to die. I've sinned against the Lord. I've seen his Son. I've seen the Lamb of God crucified, and I'm responsible for it. I'm the sinner. I'm the rebel here. I need to be delivered. God's going to destroy me." And the same way that the angel comforted Gideon, so Peter was given a word of comfort to say to the people when he said, "Repent, be turned from your dead works, and look to the Lord Jesus Christ, and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of sins. And ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost, for the promise is unto you and to your children and to all that are far off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call or bring near to himself." And so that gift of the Holy Spirit, which is given to his people, it's because what he's saying there is that you too shall know the grace and mercy of God provided freely and fully in his Son. God answers all our questions, and he settles us in the Lord Jesus Christ. And it says of them that they gladly received his word and were baptized, and the same day were added about 3,000 souls. That's the promise that your God makes to you gathered here this day who gladly receive his word. We are made to hope in the promise of God, spoken of, declared here in Christ, not by the things that I do, not by the things that I stop doing, but by the Lord Jesus Christ, who has made unto me fullness, sufficiency, forgiveness of my sins before the true and living God. Christ made a perfect atonement for our sins. Peter told Cornelius, he said, "All the prophets give witness unto the Lord Jesus Christ that whosoever believeth in him shall receive remission of sins." You're not going to be ashamed looking to the Lord Jesus Christ. That's why we preach him. That's why we preach Christ crucified. And those who hear it declare that he is their sufficiency, resting all our hope of salvation on him. And you know what Gideon did? After this happened, look at verse 24. Judges 6:24. "Then Gideon built an altar there unto the Lord and called it Jehovah Shalom. Unto this day it is yet in Ophrah of the Abiezrites." So Jehovah Shalom means the Lord is peace. Christ Jesus is the peace of God for his people. God is at perfect peace with us in the Lord Jesus Christ. In him we're made to rest. In him we are settled and satisfied. In him we worship God. We worship God. We build our altar right there in the sacrifice of Christ, right where that happened. That's where Gideon built that altar, right there on that very rock. And so it is that the Spirit of God causes us to build that altar whereby we worship God in spirit and in truth right on that rock, the Lord Jesus Christ. Christ. He's everything, brethren. He is your peace. God is at peace with you, His people. There in that place. Don't think for a minute that you would ever hear God. You would never hear Him. You'd never believe Him, except that sacrifice was made for you. God, if it wasn't made, God wouldn't speak to you, and you wouldn't hear Him if He did speak to you. But because that sacrifice was made, the Lord Jesus Christ, your ear is open this day, and you do hear the wonderful works of God, and you believe them in the Lord Jesus Christ. And so, build your altar of worship right there to God in Christ alone, because in Him, God blesses us with all spiritual blessings. Amen.